The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Baba Yakubu.
In the headlines, NDC reacts to NPP Wongbo demonstration. FDA advocates collaboration between security agencies for crackdown and prosecution of fake drug dealers. Customs officer and two others dragged to court for causing financial loss to the state. 37 killed in Niger by unidentified plane dropping bombs. And U.S. court overturns conviction against former Guantanamo Bay detainee on terrorism charges. First, a summary with Barbara Yakubu.
The national organizer of the NDC, Kofi Adams, has assured the public that the NDC is aware of the power crisis and is working feverishly to address it. Ms. Adams said the NPP could have submitted a proposal and alternative measures to help solve the crisis rather than hitting the streets. He was reacting to the NPP's Wongbo demonstration in Accra. The chief executive officer of the Food and Drugs Authority, Hudu Mokhtari, has called for collaboration among the security agencies towards developing effective strategies to arrest and prosecute perpetrators of imported fake drugs. Mr. Mokhtari was speaking at a training workshop on the Analytical Method Validation Report Protocol in Accra. The resident customs officer in charge of the customs bonded warehouse at Jamestown, Kate Kai Kote Lai, and two other persons have appeared before court for engaging in transactions leading to the loss of revenue to the state, running into several thousands of dollars of import duties. She is to answer charges of abetment of crime, falsification of accounts, and corruption. And reports from Niger say 37 people have died in an airstrike in the southern part of the country. They were attending a funeral in a village on the border with Nigeria when an unidentified plane began dropping bombs.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. Thousands of Ghanaians yesterday poured onto the streets of Accra to vent their frustrations at the worsening power situation. The demonstration dubbed Wongbo, meaning we are dying in Ghana, saw the bigwigs of the opposition, MPP, such as the minority leader in parliament, Osei Mensah Bonsu, second deputy speaker of parliament, Joe Gatti, the MPP general secretary, Kwabena Ejiofor, and MPP flag bearer, Nana Akufo-Addo. Our team of correspondents, Yaya Kwamwa, Jonathan Thompson, and Irabna Paha, have filed this report.
This was the sound made by the massive crowd that gathered at the Obran Sports at the Kwame Nkrumah Circle as early as 6 a.m. All clad in black and red attire, the crowd, comprising people from all walks of life, waited patiently amid music, jama and shouts at the Obran Sports for signals to begin the protest. The march started around 10 a.m. from the Obra Sport through the Kwame Nkrumah Avenue, with thousands of people carrying placards with inscriptions such as Abrantia Pani, Mahama, Where is our oil money? My fridge is spoiled because of load shedding. Ayedum, Ayeso. The demonstrators corrupted a popular gospel song, casting insinuations at President John Mahama. They were agitated to the point that the heavy security presence did not seem enough to manage the situation. The police had to create a barrier to prevent the people from going through the Kwame Nkrumah Avenue. The crowd, however, defied orders and did not stick to the approved route. The presidential candidate of the MPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, commended the demonstrators for coming out in their numbers to demonstrate. He urged them to vote the NDC out of power come 2016.
The problem is not only affecting members of the MPP, but Ghanaians at large. I believe God is the only one who will fight for us, because the battle is the Lord's and it continues to be the Lord's. Let's get prepared for the upcoming election. I entreat all Ghanaians to vote for the right person. The Electoral Commission should ensure that the elections are free and fair. I thank you all. May God bless you.
Minority Leader in Parliament, Osaichi Mensah-Bonsu, blamed the government for not listening to divergent views, hence the current power outages.
All that we've been saying to government, we are not listening. In Parliament, we have debated issues, we have asked questions, we have moved motions, we have asked the relevant questions. They are not listening because they are not listening. People have listened. The messenger has resonated in the ears of the general public. And they realize that government is the problem. They are frustrated. So they have decided to hit the streets. We have decided to come and join ranks with them. Their chance government will listen.
The second deputy speaker in Parliament, Joe Gatti, said Ghanaians want nothing but a solution to the energy crisis.
Solidarity with the people of Ghana. The hardship that the people of Ghana are going through because of the clear inability of the government to resolve the energy crisis. It's important that we want government to solve the problem. If they don't solve the problem, well, Ghana will solve it first.
The Deputy Communications Director of the MPP, Anthony Kabu, said the MPP has the men and vision to change the destiny of Ghanaians.
We have a problem, and we are turning to a leader who has a vision, a leader who has compassion, a leader who has the interest of the ordinary Ghanaian at his heart. And that is why we think that there is no other alternative for this government. There is only one alternative for the Ghanaian people, and that alternative is to kick this government out so that a competent, a government that has the men to come and deliver us from this crisis.
Radio Ghana later sampled the views of some of the demonstrators.
Without the light, I can't work because I am working in the printing press. Due to that, my boss fired me, so I don't know what to do. I am desperate. Ghanaians are suffering. We don't have any job.
We are demonstrating against the government. As in respect of the crisis in this country, which is mapped up to disappointments that's coming from various angles. The most important thing is that the internal generated revenue in this country has gone down. The external revenue in this country has gone out. This is all due to energy crisis.
The kind of situation that this government is plunging Ghana into is so messy, is so unfortunate that if you don't really voice our sentiments, then there is no way. That is why. But it's a symbol. It's a clear testimony to the father. We are sick and tired of whatever is happening. Economically, education-wise, in health matters, everything. There is no hope inside.
You heard views of participants at the Wangbo demonstration, and in the report by a team of correspondents, Jonathan Thompson, Irapna Paha, and Yaya Kwamua. Meanwhile, a mentally challenged person who was also spotted among the demonstrators has this to say.
It's the fourth time before tried his possible best, and John Mann also tried his own possible best, and John Muhammad time is online. He hasn't through. So we still also look also on Muhammad time. When he got through, there will know if he also tried his also possible best. This is going on. I have to know what is going on. I'm also a human being like you. Do something, sir. The one thing is I have to say this in the Bible. What the Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe unto him that will see light, and he says darkness, and that will see darkness, and he says it's light, and that will see true, and he says light, and that will see black, and he says white. Woe unto him. And I know you all know what woe means. Woe is a curse. The curse unto that person that will see the truth, and he says.
A mentally challenged person at the Wangbo demonstration.
Meanwhile, the NDC has asked Ghanaians to reject the kind of politics by the NPP that celebrates every national setback for the sole purpose of achieving narrow political gains. At a news conference shortly after the Wangbo demonstration by the NPP, the NDC said through collaborative efforts, Ghana can work to overcome the challenges in the sector. National organizer of the NDC, Kofi Adams, assured the public that the NDC is aware of the power crisis and is working feverishly to address it. Mr. Adams explained that the NPP could have submitted a proposal and alternative measures to help solve the crisis rather than hitting the streets. He noted that demonstration by the NPP shows the party is short of new ideas and not up to the task of contributing to national development.
government that have not had the same time as the previous administration. But if you look at the levels of addition, the number of signings, and the commitment to long-term energy solutions, then they cannot really match it. That is why we are surprised. That is why we are all surprised that the building is commenced, the building reached a footing level, you had the opportunity to come and add, you never add a single block. Today, another person has come to continue the building. It has reached the roofing level. You can see planks on the building for roofing to take place, and you are demonstrating and complaining. Why is it that they have not roofed the building so you can live inside? If you had raised the building to the next higher level, I'm sure by today we would have roofed it. Let me also assure you that, like the statement said, we are very confident in the measures that are being put in place to deal with this problem. And for them, let us get out there to demonstrate, because we are more than aware that President Mahama will be dealing with the energy problems. And when he does, we can come back and say that if we had not demonstrated, he would not have done it. They know very well that the measures that are being put in place will yield ultimate results and long-term results for that matter. So let's jump on the street. Let's make noise and say, oh, they weren't doing anything. So when even the results come ultimately, we say, oh, it was because we demonstrated. So still credit us. My brothers and sisters gathered here, this government is not sleeping on its job. Government is working very hard to deal with the problems in short term and also long term, so it doesn't recur.
Mr. Adams also reacted to rumors that some NDC supporters joined the demonstration, saying no member of the NDC joined it.
And staying with the Wangbo demonstration, the Greater Accra Regional Police Commander, DCOP Christian Tetseyihonu, has applauded the conduct of the police personnel deployed to handle the MPP demonstration. He said despite some disregards to rules and regulations agreed early on with the organizers of the demonstration on the appropriate routes, he is satisfied with the outcome of the exercise. DCOP Yohonu, however, said the command in future will be strict on such issues in order to maintain sanity and dignity for both demonstrators and national security.
They perform well. There was no confrontation. We have to ensure that we end demonstration peacefully. So I appreciate their good work and their hard work.
What went into this success? Normally, I know that before such program come up, there's some sort of briefing for men. How did you manage to achieve this?
Yes, we briefed them before this operation. And then there are people we have been using over and over for other previous demonstrations, especially last year, where we have a number of demonstrations. So it was very easy for them to go by the rules to ensure that we are not confrontational, we don't confront people, we absorb all provocations and ensure that the ultimate goal is to make sure that we save life and property. So for that matter, and so experience is the hallmark.
Before the beginning of the demonstration, there were issues of the routes to be taken. At a point, I hear the track on which they were going had to stop at CUC Junction for problems. Did this issue come to your decks, and how were you able to solve it?
The problem was at the Farisco traffic light. We put barricades just to prevent them from passing there, as it happened during the AFAC demonstration. They, as usual, broke the barricades, but all the same, we managed to compare them throughout the process.
Going by what you just said, does that mean that the behavior of the demonstrators went contrary to agreements earlier made?
Exactly so. It's not good for us. I think we always have to restrain ourselves not to be confrontational in our duty.
In future, what do you think are some of the lessons we could learn from this demonstration that seemed to have pulled a number of Ghanaians on board?
Yes, the lesson is to make sure that those who organize demonstrations and then they go contrary to arrangements, be sanctioned accordingly. We use the Public Order Act to sanction them. And there are a lot of people who are also yet to start their demonstrations. They have to be cautioned that the rules are there, the law is there to really make everybody to behave in according to expectation. So we use the law to handle them.
Okay. But from your observation, would you describe this demonstration as successful, or your expectations were on it?
Yeah, it has been successful because we ensure that we will not confront them. At least we also saw from the demonstrators that they also behave well. They behaved very well.
How many men did you gather for this demonstration, if you can have the number?
Yeah, the number, there were more, you know, because not all the people were on the ground. So I can't give you the exact. We deploy enough men, and then we're able to use them to achieve.
DCOP Yonu also announced that the command will meet with organizers of the demonstration to answer why they failed to comply with the arrangements on the agreed routes.
But the end is peaceful, so that is what we want to achieve. They didn't comply, so we'll call them to order. We'll discuss with them. They should explain to us what made them to go off the agreed route. That's all. So we'll call them and talk to them.
Greater Accra Regional Police Commander, DCOP Christian Tete Yohuno.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. NDC reacts to NPP Wongo demonstration. FDA advocates collaboration between security agencies for crackdown and prosecution of fake drug dealers. Customs officer and two others dragged to court for causing financial loss to the state. 37 killed in Niger by unidentified plane dropping bombs. And U.S. court overturns conviction charges against former Guantanamo Bay detainee in terrorism charges. Welcome back. To promote professionalism and high journalistic ethics in the broadcasting industry, the National Media Commission and the National Communications Authority have held discussions in Accra. The broadcasting partners also discussed the much-awaited broadcasting bill and the migration from analog to digital broadcasting. Joyce Jichi has more.
There are about 280 licensed radio stations operating in Ghana. With this proliferation comes some unprofessional media practitioners who violate the ethics of profession. The NMC has been bashed for turning a blind eye to public calls to address the issue to promote development. While the NMC's role is to see to maintaining high professional ethics, the NCA's mandate is to allocate frequencies. The two institutions realize the need to collaborate to address challenges of the broadcasting industry. The Executive Secretary of the NMC, George Sapon, talks about why the two institutions are sometimes chastised for being ineffective.
Part of that is precisely because we have had a very challenging regulatory framework within which the two institutions must work together, and there have been some challenges in constructing essentially what is the most effective way for us to work together to achieve this purpose.
Other issues discussed at the meeting included the long-awaited broadcasting bill and migration from analog to digital transmission, which Ghanaians are being told might delay. The director of engineering at the NCA, Henry Kano, says Ghana will not be affected much if the country does not meet the switch-over deadline from analog to digital broadcasting.
Nothing much at stake. What happens is that your systems will not get protection from the neighboring countries. For instance, if Togo should switch off and they are on the digital platform and we don't switch off when they are analog, where there is interference from the Togolese signals, we cannot compete to the ITU because we've not switched off. That's the only thing. And vice versa, if we should switch off and Togo did not, and there is interference from Ghana into Togo, they can also not complete.
So have you an idea when Ghana will switch off completely together?
There were some delays in the milestone, but there are the indications that we'll do that by the end of the year.
The chairman of the NMC, Cabral Bliami, here cited examples from Francophone countries and the UK, where one institution performs the roles of the NMC and the NCA. He stressed the need for greater regulations to ensure sanity in the media.
That was Joyce Jichi's report.
The power of radio in enhancing the socioeconomic welfare of its citizens has again been emphasized. Radio has also been cited as a means of promoting agriculture in Africa. The director of the Canadian-based Farm Radio International, Kevin Perkins, serves on Radio Ghana. He notes that although there are other forms of communication, radio is still relevant because it reaches many people. His comments came days after the celebration of World Radio Day.
Well, radio has a big impact. It has an impact in part because it reaches so many people. Almost everybody either has a radio of their own or they have access to a radio, maybe a friend's radio or a neighbor's radio, and they listen regularly. But the other thing that we've seen is that people enjoy listening to programs that are educational about health and agriculture and other things. And when they listen to them, we've seen that they definitely learn and change their practices, adopt new practices, try new farming methods, for example. So it's very effective. And because it's, it reaches so many people, it's also very efficient, very low cost per person to serve.
So talking about agriculture, as you rightly stated, what impact is radio making on smallholder farmers in parts of Africa?
Well, we work at Farm Radio International. We work with about 580 different radio stations, and very closely we work with about 80 to do programs, help them produce programs about agricultural issues. And when we've evaluated those, we found that about 2 out of 3 people in rural areas listen to those programs, and that the knowledge levels increase about those issues that are discussed on the radio. And we found that those who listen, large number of them, 20 to 50% of them, actually start doing something new as a result of something they learned on the radio.
So how relevant is radio in an age of new forms of communication?
A lot of people thought that radio's time had passed, that it was yesterday's technology. But what we've seen is becoming more popular. And one of the reasons is that the new information technology, like mobile phones, is actually making radio better. It's making it more interactive, more interesting to listeners. They can phone in, they can participate in different ways through their mobile phones. And that's actually made it more of a two-way communication tool, whereas it used to be just one way from the broadcaster to the listener. Now the listeners can get involved and participate and access the information using their mobile.
So my final question, what are some of the challenges I'm facing the radio prospects?
Well, I think the challenge is just being able to have good producers and presenters and managers at the stations who can keep this kind of educational radio programming on the air, to find a way to sustain it. It costs a little bit more than just playing music, so the stations have to find a way to produce and broadcast those programs and find a way to generate some revenue to cover the cost. So that's something that is a priority for Farm Radio International, is to help our partners find a way to make educational, agriculture, and health-related programs viable for them.
Director of Canadian-based Farm Radio International, Kevin Perkins.
To help mark the 80th anniversary of GBC, Strong Plus Limited, a leading manufacturer of plastic chairs, has donated 100 pieces of its products to the state broadcaster. The managing director, Simon Anthony Saud, made the presentation as part of the company's gesture towards a successful anniversary. Receiving the donation, the director of marketing of GBC, David McFuga, was grateful for the kind gesture and urged other corporate bodies to come and support GBC as they celebrate its 80th anniversary.
The chief executive of the Food and Drugs Authority, Hudu Mokhtari, has called for collaboration among the security agencies towards developing effective strategies to arrest and prosecute the perpetrators of imported fake drugs. He expressed concern about the influx of fake medicines into the country through unauthorized borders, and said a sound inter-security operation would help to protect public safety and lives, and also serve as a deterrent to potential offenders. Mr. Mokhtari noted that the country has 2 legally approved entry points for drug imports, Kotoka International Airport and Tema Harbour, but many manufacturing companies are sneaking in counterfeit medicines into the country through unapproved borders to the detriment of public health. Mr. Mokhtari said this in Accra at a training workshop for local pharmaceutical companies. We bring you more.
The training will lead to the competitiveness of local pharmaceuticals company in the supply of quality, safe and efficacious products for use in the health delivery system. The workshop was to educate players in the pharmaceutical industry on how to put together documentations needed for the registration of their products in the 3 areas to ensure that products on the market meet the required international standards. The Food and Drugs Authority has instituted measures to keep counterfeit medicines on the market and need the support of the security agencies to be totally successful. Mr. Mokhtari said their officers are also conducting post-market surveillance to find out whether the products on the market are the same as those certified or not by the authority, to prevent any counterfeit products. The participants are expected to understand the method of documentation to develop high-quality products intended for demonstrate registration to be put on both the Ghanaian and the international markets. It said the benefit of the training is that if the companies adhere to specifications of the authority through effective documentation, it would reduce time spent by its officers in evaluating products, as well as ensure a quick registration process.
And that was a report on FDA's call for collaboration among security agencies to fight smuggling. Wife of the Vice President, Matilda Emisa Afa, says the ministries have a tall list of responsibilities. Therefore, other corporate entities and philanthropists will always be needed to help solve societal problems. She made the point at the new Ibrahim Government Hospital in the Brim North District of the Eastern Region, where she made a presentation to the Women and Children's Ward. Mrs. Emisa Afa said her vision is simply to put smiles on the faces of the children, adding that taking care of children is difficult, therefore special time and devotion needs to be attached to them. The items she presented to the ward included baskets of fruits, crates of assorted canned soft drinks, boxes of biscuits, cartons of bottled water, and packaged gift bags. Mrs. Anissa Arthur also visited the Intronang Presby Basic School, also in the Brim North District, where she presented 10 laptop computers, library books to the school, and cartons of bottled water to the teachers. She noted that government will always do its bit to enhance education and therefore urge parents to do their part as stakeholders in educating their wards.
The resident customs officer in charge of the customs bonded warehouse at Jamestown, Kit Kai Koti Lai, and two other persons have been hauled to the court for engaging in transactions leading to the loss of revenue to the state, running into several thousands of dollars of import duties. She is to answer to charges of abetment of crime, falsification of accounts, and corruption. Correspondent Amasewa Bidiaku has the details.
The customs officer is alleged to have falsified customs bonded warehouse register to assist the director and ND of Alsafa International Trading Company Limited to clear 30,074 bags of 50 kilograms of rice from the bonded warehouse without paying import duties. The director of the company, Muritaza Khan, and the MD, Mentuf Khan, are charged with taking unentered goods in contradiction with the law. Mentuf faces additional charge of corrupting the public officer. Narrating the facts to the court, DSP Abraham Ano said the director and MD of the said company are Indians based in the country with rice import as their main business. The customs officer, according to the prosecution, is with the warehousing unit of the Ghana Revenue Authority, whose duty is to, among other things, ensure that all documentations accompanying goods entering the bond are properly entered in the register. She is also to ensure that the true quantity and description of goods are allowed in and genuine customs declaration passed with the right documentation and import duties paid before the goods are taken out of the bond. Therefore, only goods declared in the right quantities are to be taken out of the bond. But DSP Ano said these were not done in relation to the consignment of more than 33,000 bags of rice imported from Pakistan by the Indian businessman in January 2012, which consignment was stored in the customs bonded warehouse awaiting the payment of import duties. Investigations revealed that between January 2012 and February last year, the importers have smuggled 30,074 bags of 50 kilograms of imported rice from the bonded warehouse without paying import duties.
Amasewa Bediako.
In international news, reports from Niger say 37 people have died in an airstrike in the southern part of the country. They were attending a funeral in a village on the border with Nigeria when an unidentified plane began dropping bombs. The incident occurred as the Nigerian army announced the killing of more than 300 Boko Haram militants. Nigerian officials said a number of Boko Haram fighters have been captured and weapons and equipment seized. And an Australian former Guantanamo Bay detainee has had his conviction on terrorism charges overturned in the U.S. David Hicks, 39, pleaded guilty at the base in Cuba in 2007 for providing material support to the terrorists. A U.S. court struck down the conviction on the grounds that the charge was not a war crime and so should not have been heard at a military court. Mr. Hicks was captured in Afghanistan in 2001, where he attended Al-Qaeda training camps and met Osama bin Laden.
Turn the news to the main point again. National organizer of the NDC, Kofi Adams, has assured the public that the party is aware of the power crisis and is working feverishly to address it. Ms. Adams explained that the MPs could have submitted a proposal and alternative measures to help solve the crisis rather than hitting the street. Chief Executive Officer of the Food and Drugs Authority, Hudi Mokhtari, has called for collaboration among the security agencies towards developing effective strategies to arrest and prosecute perpetrators of imported fake drugs. And the resident customs officer in charge of the customs bonded warehouse at Jamestown, Kit Kai Koti Lai, and two other persons have appeared before courts for engaging in transactions leading to the loss of revenue to the state, running into several thousands of dollars of import duties. The news was presented by Baba Yakubu
and Lily Defo in Accra.